Revolution from the Faculty Lounge, The Emergence of Teacher-Led Schools and Cooperatives by Joe Williams. In recent years, there has been a growing acceptance of the idea that the school must be the fundamental unit of reform in education. Philanthropists and business leaders have seized upon the practical idea of improving school systems by improving their individual parts. Vast sums have been invested in school leadership based on the widely held corporate-inspired assumption that school principals are best positioned to carry out these school-centered reforms. In short, we have placed the onus for the success or failure of reform squarely on the shoulders of principals, and entire organizations have emerged to find and retain the type of status quo-busting men and women who will get the job done. But what if this top-down approach to reforming individual schools is not the most efficient way to implement substantive reform of public education? What if we could get power and decision-making even closer to the students we serve? What if teams of professional educators were capable of evaluating one another's work and solving school-level problems in a collaborative manner and with an eye toward the impact of all decisions on their instruction? Around the country, the debate about what would happen if teachers were allowed to run their own schools is moving from theory to practice. A growing number of concerned educators, primarily in such progressive strongholds as Wisconsin and Minnesota, are experimenting with such ideas as they work under a professional teacher partnership model that empowers groups of teachers to act as a professional practice, like doctors or lawyers, in their schools. Public school teachers in Denver have already moved forward with contractual language that allows for teacher-led beacon schools. Union leaders in California and Massachusetts are also considering the concept. Once considered an idea on the fringes of education reform, teacher-led schooling arrangements are moving into the mainstream. In late 2006, the new Commission on the Skills of the American Workforce, a group spearheaded by the National Center on Education and the Economy, included in its recommendations for reform the argument that more public schools should be run by teacher-led independent contractors, similar to the way public charter schools are organized in some states. These teacher partnerships essentially bypass the middleman, that is, the principal, and act as a collaborative body of classroom-level reformers, making daily decisions close to the ground in ways that benefit their students. Supporters argue that such teacher-run schools may be the best hope for prompting the types of fundamental change required to keep pace with a rapidly changing world and the escalating expectations for public education. One of the better-known ventures into this area, EdVisions, discussed in more detail later, states in its Articles of Incorporation that the purpose of its teacher-led arrangements is to, quote, provide employment and income to its members in a manner that would permit them, individually and in concert with one another, in a cooperative structure, to employ their skills, talents, and resources for the development and implementation of quality instructional programs, end quote. Nora Whalen, a founding teacher at the Avalon School in St. Paul, Minnesota, one of a dozen teacher-led schools working under the umbrella of the EdVisions Teacher Cooperative, says, quote, our goal is always to have everyone who is part of the organization working with the kids in some capacity, so the distance between the decision-maker and those affected by the decisions is as short as possible, end quote. Ted Coldery, a senior associate of the Minnesota-based initiative Education Evolving, argues that understanding the significance of these groundbreaking professional teacher partnerships requires setting aside traditional notions that teachers serve only as employees of school districts. Envisioning teachers as entrepreneurial owners of the academic instruction they provide unlocks tremendous potential for reform that is both teacher-friendly and aimed squarely at enhancing achievement opportunities for students. Quote, as owners, free to control their practice and accountable for learning, teachers might, in their own interest, make changes and improvements in the learning activity that it has proved impossible to secure from employees through management, end quote, Coldery writes. Ample evidence already exists to show that the concept is tremendously popular with educators nationwide and could be a workable model for the organization of a school. In 2003, the organization Public Agenda asked a national sample of teachers, how interested would you be in working in a charter school run and managed by teachers? Nearly 6 in 10 teachers indicated that they would be somewhat or very interested. The concept has even caught the eye of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, which has financially supported a number of experimental teacher-led cooperatives. Quote, we have seen a high degree of investment on the part of the teachers in these cooperatives in the student outcomes at the school, end quote, says Jim Shelton, program director for the foundation. Kim Ferris Berg, an education consultant who inventoried the working particulars of professional teacher partnerships nationwide for Education Evolving, said the attitudes and behaviors of teachers in these partnerships are quite different from what you find in a conventional school setting, where teachers are merely employees. Quote, having accepted responsibility for the school, the teachers realize their success depends on the students, end quote, Ferris Berg notes. Quote, so they give students serious responsibilities. Parents and students can contribute usefully to school governance. Students sometimes help to select people to work at the school. Teachers turn this positive culture into student success. Members of the cooperative often continue as teachers while assuming administrative roles, end quote. History of Teacher Partnerships, Minnesota. The idea of professional partnerships for teachers dates back to the mid-1980s when Bill Linderscholler, then the public affairs officer for Cray Research, awarded a small grant to a group of math teachers in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area who were considering the formation of a small professional practice. The teachers wanted to sell their services to local districts in a way that guaranteed results and affordability. Superintendents were enthusiastic about the idea, but they worried that some political players in the world of education might not approve of the unconventional arrangement, and the idea never got off the ground. It wasn't until states began allowing the formation of startup public charter schools in the 1990s, starting with Minnesota in 1991, that opportunities opened up to try teacher-professional partnerships without encountering strong political opposition from within the education sector. In 1992, a group of teachers in rural South Central Minnesota began setting up a trailblazing charter school that, as Ted Coldery notes, evolved to include neither courses nor employees. The school, Minnesota New Country School, had only a board of directors that managed contracts. For example, the school had a contract with the local school district for transportation and another with a caterer for school lunches. While these sorts of contracts were commonplace in startup charter schools, it was the contract that New Country had with EdVisions that showed what was really possible if the traditional employment arrangements in public education were to be discarded. EdVisions is an organization collectively formed by professional teachers. Legally, it is considered a Chapter 308A organization under Minnesota state law, that is, a state-recognized workers' cooperative. The EdVision's cooperative concept, in place today in a dozen school sites, replaces the traditional union master contract arrangements by creating a professional association of teacher owners who contract with a school to supply a learning program. These teachers select their colleagues, decide the learning methods and materials, make the work assignments, evaluate performance, and decide their own compensation. With offices located in a restored bank building in Henderson, just up the road from the flagship Minnesota New Country Charter School, EdVisions handles such back office services for the teacher teams as payroll processing, marketing, human resources consulting, benefit administration, and workers' compensation. Teachers who are part of EdVisions site teams are either associate members or shareholders. As of March 2006, there were 203 associate members who work for the cooperative as part of a site management team. There is no tenure. Rather, teachers work under a one-year at-will contract. Shareholders, by contrast, are also known as voting members of the cooperative and get to decide EdVision's policy. A teacher becomes a shareholder by applying to the EdVision's board and purchasing one share in the co-op for $100. As of March 2006, there were 58 shareholders. Shareholders who are also associate members qualify for patronage dividends that have the potential to be paid out each year. However, the cooperative usually decides to spend down any surpluses, investing in such things as scholarships for teachers to earn additional graduate credits, according to Doug Thomas, director of EdVisions. Members of each site team determine their individual compensation and benefits, as well as dealing with all of the other budgetary priorities. Thomas said, quote, "We actually had teachers who were willing to cut their pay because they were looking at the finances for their building and trying to find ways to add additional space. It turned out they didn't need to cut their pay, but it shows the kinds of discussion that can take place with this," end quote. Minnesota New Country School eventually grew from a project-based storefront school in Le Sueur, Minnesota, to a thriving school in an impressive building constructed by a community development group in nearby Henderson. EdVisions, in turn, grew to become a network of small cooperative schools serving nearly 2,500 students with support from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation for expanding its efforts across the nation. Progressivism in Wisconsin. In Wisconsin, the home of legendary progressive crusader Fighting Bob La Follette, the concept of teacher cooperatives has been taking a slightly different turn. In Milwaukee, a city where charter schooling and even private school vouchers have been part of the landscape of education for several years, teachers have also begun taking to the idea of running small schools that they feel will better meet the needs of their students. Unlike the teachers who work for the EdVisions Cooperative, teachers at Milwaukee's teacher cooperative schools remain employees of the Milwaukee Public Schools and dues-paying members of the Milwaukee Teachers Education Association, MTEA. But they provide their services to district-sponsored charter schools as an autonomous team. All the cooperative schools are district-sponsored charters rather than independent charters, because this arrangement allows the teachers to continue to participate in the state's teacher retirement system. They don't own their practice in an economic sense, but they are allowed by both the district and their union to own what happens within their autonomous school communities. The teachers select their colleagues, decide on the work assignments, determine the expenditures, and, most important, they say, shape the learning program. Quote, the teachers in these cooperatives literally own what happens in their schools, which creates a climate where accountability and flexibility go hand in hand, end quote, observes Milwaukee Superintendent William Andrikopoulos. Unionized teachers in Milwaukee have already formed 11 professional partnerships that run charter schools under the state's laws that allow for worker cooperatives. Wisconsin's cooperatives are organized under Chapter 185 of the state's statutes and are tax-exempt nonprofit organizations. All full-time teachers at the school site are automatically considered members of the cooperative, and all have the same rights and privileges. The IDEAL Charter School opened in the fall of 2001 as the first teacher cooperative in Milwaukee. The partners collectively hold the charter, although, because of a quirk in the state's charter school law, only one teacher signs it. The teachers continue as district employees and are paid the contract rate, but they can decide how many teachers of what type the school needs, and so they can reallocate expenditures. There is a memorandum of understanding with the MTEA, the bargaining agent for the district's teachers, that waives certain provisions of the master contract. The union has been cooperative, the Board of Education is happy, and the teachers are protected but still have full control of professional issues. Any teacher in the district may apply for a vacant teaching position at any cooperative, but the existing team has the right to interview all the candidates and to select the teachers that the district will then assign to the school. The current agreement allows these interviews up until an established deadline, after which teachers must fill the vacancies using traditional seniority rights, a practice that some members of the cooperatives hope to eliminate in the future, since teacher selection is crucial to the team building that allows cooperatives to thrive. What happens in these co-ops? While the hallrooms and classrooms of cooperative schools don't always look entirely different from what you would find in a typical school, it is the regular partner meetings that stand out as unconventional. Unlike the often inflexible, compliance-based cultures that exist in traditional schools, where the principal implements district-wide edicts and there is little room to make meaningful adjustments based on the particular needs of individual schools, partner meetings under the professional partnership model demonstrate what is possible when teachers have a say over what happens in schools. Quote, all the teachers are at the table, end quote, says Avalon Whalen, who now works as a consultant for Ed Visions, helping other teams of teachers around the nation to form cooperatives. At Avalon, about 12 weeks before the doors first opened to students, the teachers got together and simply divided up the lengthy list of tasks that needed to be completed. The concept of professionalism, Whalen says, ends up meaning something different when you have complete ownership of the work experience. It often means that teachers willingly participate in cafeteria duty, bathroom duty, and hallway duty, for example, because a professional team has determined that resources would be better spent on instruction than on school aides. It isn't that the aides wouldn't be nice to have, Whalen notes, but such costs can be converted into hiring additional teachers, which keeps class sizes lower and keeps the focus on student instruction. Sometimes the decisions confronting the teacher owners of a school aren't particularly interesting to much of the outside world, but they illustrate the kinds of everyday issues that can't be easily solved by large bureaucratic school systems. Signs are also beginning to emerge that teachers will use this new level of flexibility to better understand and respond to the academic needs of their students. At the Milwaukee Learning Laboratory and Institute, for example, which opened in the fall of 2005, the partnership's teachers determined in the first few months that their students needed to hone their organization, research, and study skills. The students were so weak in these areas that it limited their learning in other subject areas, such as science. For some students, an inability to work on their own was making their lessons irrelevant. The teachers decided to alter the students' schedules midstream to provide an ad hoc course in study skills. They created the time for this unplanned instruction by dropping science class for one marking period. Once the students at the small school were brought up to speed on their research and study skills, the partnership changed the schedules again so that all students doubled up on science for the final marking period. Thus, the students made up for the lost classes, and because they had a better grip on handling homework and research, made better use of their science time than they would have otherwise. David Coyle, the lead teacher under the partnership arrangement, said, quote, "We could never have done that in a large high school that was not run by the teachers," end quote. Teachers who are members of these cooperatives spend a great deal of time honing the decision-making process, since that is the professional cornerstone on which the school culture is built. Avalon Swalen says, quote, "We've had to struggle at times with the question of whether or not we make decisions by consensus or by majority rule. The vast majority of decisions end up being made by consensus, but the tough ones end up being by majority rule," end quote. Conceptually, since the EdVisions and Milwaukee Teacher Co-op schools are public schools of choice, there is a connection between the decisions the teachers make about their offerings and the desires of students in the marketplace. If students do not want to attend these schools, they cease to exist. There are also some built-in levers that ensure the quality of the team members. Teachers who don't cut it in the partnerships based on evaluations by a cooperative peer review system are allowed to return to the traditional employment pool of the district with their seniority intact. The same applies to teachers who decide on their own that the partnership model just isn't a good fit for them. One of the Milwaukee Teacher Cooperatives, Advanced Language and Academic Studies, ALAS, was started by a group of teachers who had grown frustrated working in the perennially troubled South Division High School, a school serving primarily Latinos on Milwaukee's South Side. Linda Peters, the lead teacher at ALAS, said, quote, "We were frustrated with the fact that no one would take responsibility for what was happening," end quote. In some ways, it was remarkable that the rebellious South Division teachers found one another at all. But in addition to a burning desire actually to do something to help their students, they had one thing in common. They all avoided the large high school's teachers' lounge like the plague. It was like a den of negativity, one South Division refugee remarked. At ALAS, there is no room for negativity, teachers say. As soon as a problem is identified, it becomes the professional team's collective responsibility to solve it. There is no need to establish study commissions or run decisions through myriad layers of district-level bureaucracy. Identify a problem, decide collectively on a solution, and implement it. The model is about streamlined school operations. The hours are long, and the hats the teacher owners wear are many. The partners meet regularly to tackle problems as they arise And because there is no principal, they can't leave until someone has taken charge of whatever situation the staff collectively deems worthy of an intervention. Teachers say the most important change they sought from their teacher union contract was the ability to choose like-minded colleagues who share their vision of education. If anything, teachers say they would like even more flexibility on this issue for the sake of preserving school culture. Quote, "We're really hard on ourselves. The pressure comes from within," end quote, says Kevin Kuschel, who was driven to join the co-op in part by his belief that bilingual students were more capable of taking advanced placement courses in subjects like history than South Division High seemed to believe. He continues, quote, "This is our baby, and we want the baby to be successful," end quote. Even students see the difference in terms of staff cohesion when teacher partners work as a team. Quote, "The students understand the staff is a unit. There is no playing one teacher off against another," end quote. Roxanne Mayer, a teacher at Milwaukee's Community High School, told the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, quote, "We don't think administrators are useless or a negative thing, but it is important that this movement be about teachers having more of a voice." Mark Van Rysen, a doctoral candidate at the University of Minnesota who has studied the teacher partnerships in both Milwaukee and Minnesota, says that virtually anything is possible. Quote, "With these professional partnerships, teachers can not only make more of the day-to-day decisions, but can also undertake whole school reform and redesign if they believe that's what's necessary to contribute to student learning. If the teachers as a group are more comfortable in a traditional classroom-based school, that is what they create. If the teachers are reformers at heart, they can incorporate any sort of pedagogical or technological innovation and create a very different kind of school. The ultimate authority lies with them," Van Rysen points out. Lead teachers, not principals. Generally, there are no principals at these teacher-led schools, so that the teacher voice will drive every decision regarding the education to be delivered. Instead of a principal, most professional partnerships of teachers operate with a single teacher who is designated as the lead teacher. These individuals are responsible for running partner meetings and other events and for dealing with the state or district bureaucracies when that's necessary. Yet, even when the school community is sensitive to the need to share responsibilities, many foundations and government agencies that work with the schools rely upon traditional norms and require the signature of the school principal on forms. Teachers said this can be a tricky hurdle organizationally, because it means one person ends up getting a lot of additional responsibility dumped into his or her lap. In Wisconsin, for example, the wording of the state's charter school law contributes to the piling on for lead teachers because it states that charters may be granted only to sole individuals, not teams of teachers. So one teacher's name automatically ends up on the charter contract. Several lead teachers interviewed in Milwaukee expressed hints of frustration that they end up doing the work of principals without the pay bump that serving as a principal usually provides. Teachers in partnership schools also point out that some forms of decision-making are more fun, professionally speaking, than others. Everyone wants to make a decision about the budget, but no one wants to call a snow day, says Avalon Swalen. She suggests that there are some tasks, usually far removed from instruction, that teachers still want someone else to deal with. Many outsiders are quick to point out that ultimately someone must be in charge of handling the day-to-day administrative duties. But supporters of the partnerships say the fact that the partnership, is responsible for the school doesn't mean that there's nobody in charge. Rather, it means that the partnership, rather than a district central office, decides who's in charge and in charge of what. Some partnerships, for example, might opt to hire an administrator to support the work of the teachers. Others may decide to contract out for administrative services, either because they prefer to have more time with students or because they prefer not to have administrative work. One thing that becomes clear at all of these teacher-run schools is that the workload for teachers is considerably heavier than under traditional arrangements. Some observers worry that this will work against bringing these teacher-run schools to scale. Simply put, they say, these types of school ownership arrangements aren't for everyone, and teachers must decide for themselves whether the professional satisfaction they gain is worth the cost in additional time and responsibility. Quote, one of the things I worry about is whether or not we can get enough people to keep buying into this approach. You can't hire the teacher who thinks that teaching is a 9-month job. It really is a full-time commitment, end quote, Whalen says. Future possibilities. Ed Visions and the Milwaukee cooperatives continue to expand as teachers seek new models of governance that allow them to exercise their professional expertise. The idea of teacher cooperatives is being considered in Fall River, Massachusetts, at the Fall River Maritime Charter School. Two charter schools have been approved in Pasadena, California. These schools will contract with an EPP, Education Professional Partnership, made up of teachers who will run the school and select and implement the learning program. School leaders and union leaders in major districts such as New York City and Los Angeles have expressed an interest in learning more about the pluses and minuses of teacher-run worker cooperatives. Scholars like Henry Levin of Teachers College, Columbia University, believe that the education community should be more open to new forms of enterprise, though he advises that educators should study other efforts to implement worker cooperatives and learn from their experience. Interestingly, despite a lengthening track record for teacher-led partnerships, they have gone largely unexamined by academe. For the most part, researchers have not been conducting serious studies of what we might learn about the kinds of decisions teachers make when given the chance and what those decisions mean in terms of student achievement. Many of those who work closely with teacher-led schools say that there are lessons to be gathered from their experience that, short of creating full-fledged partnerships, can be introduced into traditional schools in ways that unleash the professional expertise of classroom teachers. John Parr, a former municipal labor leader who helped found the first Milwaukee Teacher Cooperatives, along with his daughter, Chris, has recently been working with the Minneapolis Public Schools to establish district-operated teacher-run schools in a new site-based management pilot program. The core idea of teacher-run schools can be seen, for example, in charter schools being run by teacher unions, as is the case with two schools operated by the United Federation of Teachers in New York City. Although the school may be governed by a board of trustees made up of teachers, community members, parents, and UFT officials, input from teachers is critical to overall decision-making. Such informal arrangements, supporters say, may be the key to spreading the benefits of teacher-led schools to the education community at large. In one of the more interesting proposals related to the future possibilities for this model, Paul Hill of the University of Washington has suggested forming teacher cooperatives as a way to enhance the status of teachers with skills that are much in demand, particularly in such areas as math, science, and special education. Under Hill's scenario, the teacher cooperative would work under contract with school districts, and the individual teachers would work out their pay and work arrangements with the cooperative, not collectively with the district. Because these teachers could continue to work in industry or at community colleges, for example, while they provide much-needed services for school districts, such an arrangement would break down the traditional walls between collective bargaining and statutory arrangements and innovative hiring practices. How will entire schools run by teams of teachers with some sort of ownership stake in either the school or the work product affect student achievement? The answer undoubtedly rests not in the structural arrangement that these co-ops create, but in the actual on-the-ground decisions and directions established by the educators themselves. Given the opportunity to determine exactly what happens in their classrooms each day, will educators make the most of the situation? More important, will they be able to look at student achievement data with a critical eye and make the kinds of adjustments and mid-course corrections that their students require and these forms of flexible governance allow? This last point could prove to be the most difficult as these teacher-run schools continue to evolve, and how educators rise to meet that challenge could largely determine the future of teacher professionalism in American public education.